Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up outside Atlanta, Georgia, and worked at a General Motors plant for many years. From 1978 to 1991, he was a cocaine addict and then turned his life over to Jesus Christ. Since 2002, he's been the founder and CEO of Inner City Outreach Ministries, which helps young men from 18 to 29 who are homeless, unemployed, and/or drug users. His name? Dexter James. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dexter James, who founded Inner City Outreach Ministries in 1999. Dexter, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Glad to be here with you, Jack. Thank God for you.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer this evening?
Sure. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We lift up the city of Detroit as well as all of those that are listening, those that are dwelling around this place. Lord, we thank you for your power to come. Let these words edify and build. Let the lame walk. Let the blind eyes see. Let minds be opened. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you got a Detroit Tigers coat on, you better say a little prayer for the Tigers too, Dexter.
Ah, you better know it.
All right, let's talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Okay, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, in the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia. And my mom's name's Sarah, my dad's name's Jesse James. And I was raised Catholic, and half the family was Baptist, and I saw the things that went on in the inner city. And as I grew up as a boy, I wanted to patternize or emulate some of the activities that I saw, you know, within the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia. Some were legal, some were illegal. And but I thank God that I made it through that.
What's the biggest thing, Dexter, you learned from Mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Biggest thing I learned from my mom is that Jesus can do everything but fail. Largest thing I learned from my dad was never confess.
You talked about inner city. You emulated certain things. When and how did you start going down the wrong path?
Oh, about 1982. I was 22 years old, and I started searching to try to find which direction that I wanted to go in my life. And at that time, I had got laid off from GM. It was a temporary layoff, and I was trying to find out exactly what I wanted to do with my life, and kind of got involved with some of the wrong people. And I thought it was the right time to make some moves to better myself, not knowing Jesus, but being in what you would say, the nightlife, or some of my family members own nightclubs and things like that. So I would be out at night, and I got a chance to see a lot of things that weren't profitable on God's side, but they were profitable on the world's side.
You became a daily user of cocaine.
Yes, sir.
From 78 to 91, 14 years, most every day?
Most every day. I developed a smooth habit. I didn't know I had a habit like that. I had my hands in some drugs and just kind of had a little vial. It was a little jar that I kept in my Levi pocket. They had a little coin pocket. And it would hold 3.5 grams of cocaine. And I realized one day when I got home that every day it was empty. So that means throughout that day I had used, or whoever I was fellowshipping with or hanging out with, we had snorted at least 3.5 grams of cocaine per day.
Where did you get the money, and how did you keep working?
Well, by the grace of God, the invisible God that was yet visible, but I really didn't know him, but he knew me. He had I obviously had a plan for my life. The money I worked, and I had a couple of different things going on in the city, and then I had the product. And so as a result of that, I had access to it.
Let's go to a Sunday morning in 1991. You put a gun to your head.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, brother, I realized that I had messed up for years and years and years, and it got to the point where not only I was snorting cocaine, I had started smoking cocaine, freebasing. And the night before this event, I had probably, I don't know how much we had smoked, or I had smoked, but whatever it was so strong that I was just messed up. And I made it home that Sunday, and my family was in shambles. I was kind of like the guy that on the outside looked like things was well. I was doing pretty good. But on the inside, I was torn up from the floor up. And my wife decided that day with my son, Dexter Jr., that she was going to leave me. She was on her way to church when I walked in. And she said, "This is it. I'm leaving you." And she took the boy and they left. They go to church. And while I was home by myself in East Point, Georgia, I thought about killing myself. And literally, Jack, I took the pistol, 41 Magnum, Smith & Wesson pistol, put it to my head, and at that point, with my finger on the trigger, I heard a voice. And believe it or not, in the midst of my madness, the voice said, "This is gonna hurt." And when it said it was gonna hurt, it was smooth enough and strong enough to go inside of my mind and in my finger, man, and say, "You know what? This is going to hurt." And I put the gun down. And the same voice that spoke to me right in that bad moment, he told me to call my grandmother's number in the city of Detroit. And it was on a Sunday, brother. Surely she should have been at church, but that day she was at home. I called my grandmother and I told her what was going on, and she began to share Christ with me and tell me what to do, and that became a turning point in the life of Dexter James Sr.
We're talking to Dexter James, and I'm Jack Prisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Prisula, and we're with Dexter James, who from 1978 to 1991 was a daily cocaine addict. You talked about your grandmother, and then later, Dexter, you came to Detroit for 3 days for your grandmother's funeral.
Talk about
that trip
to
Detroit.
I came here in 1999, the month of May, to my grandmother's funeral. And while we were at the funeral, I decided we'd look around the city of Detroit. And, you know, while we were there for the time of bereavement, and I saw the devastation in this city. And when I mean devastation, I saw people hurting. God had delivered me and set me free. And my wife and I and our children, we rode around an area considered now Alfred and Brush. It's near Comerica Park now. It's pretty nice. But over there then, it was pretty tough. And we got out on the street and we began to witness for Jesus Christ just on the corner. And the first day, we just started talking to folk about Jesus. Second day, we started talking about it. But the third day, there was a man in a wheelchair. And he said, "Don't pray until I get there." And when he began to scream out, "Don't pray until I get there," he was wheeling himself down Alfred. And I said, "Oh, my God." And I said, "Lord, if you want me in Detroit, make a way. If you want me in Detroit, just make a way. If this is where I'm supposed to be, everything was good in Atlanta, everything was okay. But if this is where you want me, you make a way." And Brother Jack, we went back to the house and my grandmother's house, and we put in for a transfer. My wife and myself, we worked for General Motors and Hamtramck, and we put in for a transfer right then on the spot. It was almost miraculous, man, that we got a response, and we found out that we had been approved to come to Hamtramck, Michigan. And that started the ball rolling. July 17th, 1999, God relocated me and my family here, and that started what we're doing now.
20 years ago, almost to the day.
Yes, sir.
All right, Dexter, describe downtown Detroit in 1999.
It was tough. It was ugly. It was dirty. It was abandoned. It was homelessness. It was drug. A lot of heroin, it seemed like. A lot of cocaine. Needles was on the ground. Even condoms. You could see liquor bottles. I mean, just all around where Comerica Park is now and Fort Field is now. And not to mention the inner city, just to get up in the different streets. It was prostitutes on the street. It was almost like Sodom and Gomorrah, to be honest with you, if I could imagine what it would be like. So it was a war zone, let me put it like that. I never seen anything like it. Atlanta was tough, but nothing like here. Abandonment. We even saw cars. I have pictures of some of this stuff. Just sitting in the middle of the street on Davidson near the Lodge Freeway, I can remember seeing a car just sitting in the middle of the street with no tires on it. For days, they never moved it. I've seen houses where they would take the bricks off. I've seen siding, aluminum siding missing. So it was like a bomb, a B-O-M-B, a bomb had hit American City. So it blew my mind.
Why didn't you revert back to the former life with all of this despair and misery?
Well, I came here. I came here on a mission. So once I crossed over from Georgia to Michigan, me and my family, we came here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We came to be a witness that no matter what your situation is, God can change it. We came to share our testimony. So it's like this is our mission field. We actually came to obey God and say, okay, we'll go, Lord, if you want us there. And we'll sacrifice and we'll do whatever you ask us to do because he's been very, very good to me. He brought me out. You know, and we just began to witness in our neighborhood. We took my grandmother's house and we moved in it. And we began to evangelize our community. Even 13 children were baptized in our neighborhood. I mean, I saw miraculous things happen. So once we said yes, like God just opened up the floodgates and gave us opportunities, brought relationships. And we didn't know anyone here, Jack. Just me and my family. We met a couple people on the block. And one little small church that's abandoned now on 12th Street near Davidson. We met a preacher there, him and his wife and their family. And we just went out and just started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Soon thereafter, you started Inner City Outreach Ministries. Tell us about Inner City Outreach Ministries.
Sure. Glad to be able to tell you. God, he touched my heart here. And across the street from my grandmother's house, there was a young man that stayed there. And it appeared that his personality was similar to my old personality. I watched him. And I won't call his name if that's okay. But this brother, he was selling drugs. And he was a pretty tough guy in his neighborhood. And people respected him in the streets of his trade. But he was not very popular with the older people in the neighborhood because of his business transactions in the neighborhood. And we began to witness to him. And he received Jesus Christ. And he began to go to church with us. And as a result of that, we were able to acquire his home. He allowed us to use the house that he used to start a drug business in to actually take people off the street. In 2003, on March the 3rd, he allowed us to just use his house, him and his mom. She came up from Georgia as well and said, okay. I said, I have an idea that if you'd let us use this place to help people get off drugs, then we could help men. And they agreed. And so my wife and myself and my son, Dexter James Jr., we decided that we'd take a three-bedroom house in the inner city of Detroit, and we had these little carts, and I'd pass them out all over town when I'm out witnessing, and if a guy would call, then I would say, you ready to get your life together? You give me a call, we'll give you a place to stay. And before you know it, we had Bible study going on, and we wound up with what we called Inner City outreach ministries.
Dexter, for 17 years, you've been passing out these cards, and they read, men, 18 years to 29 years old, family problems, homeless, unemployed, drug problems, legal problems, call now, 313-623-7094, Inner City Outreach Ministries.
Yes, sir.
But there's nothing about what you charge them.
You don't have to have anything but a willing mind and a made-up heart. We'll figure it out. You know, there's no charge. It's Jesus, man. We'll come together and say, look, we know we got to pay the taxes. We know we got to pay the lights, the gas, the water bills. And as we begin to bring in funds, then we, you know, we disperse it by faith. That's how we work.
You told me that God is your banker, your partner. But where does God come up with the money, Dexter?
Well, every man has a trade, Brother Jack. Every man has a skill. We come to find out that some brothers are electricians, some brothers are plumbers, some brothers are roofers, some brothers are automobile mechanics, some brothers are barbers, some have culinary art skills. They've worked in the hotels and they're chefs. I mean, some brothers can paint. And so we would come together and first we start cutting grass. Just cut people grass and then we clean out the gutters and I was still working at the plant, and we came up on a little building. People started giving us donations like furniture and different items, chairs, lamps. People just want us to clean out their garage or something. They say, you could have that sofa. We opened up a little building on Joy Road one time. I think we had one on Dexter, and we had just over a period of time. We opened up a store, and then we have a little resale shop, and we'd witness at these places as well. And, of course, my tithe went into it. My wife tithe went into it. And my son, he decided to work at GM. He tithe into it. And as a result, we began to expand a little bit. People started saying, well, can you paint this room? Can you? Before you know it, we had a little small remodeling ministry where we'd go and help people fix things in their home, like a handyman ministry.
We're talking to Dexter James. If you want to learn more, 313-623-7094. 313-623-7094. Or you can email Dexter at PastorDexterJames@gmail.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dexter James for the last 20 years. He's been an angel for God in the inner city, running inner city outreach ministries. Dexter, what if you tell us about three or four men that God has transformed their lives using you?
Wow, man, we got so many. Amen, but I have one in particular now that I was just right in my heart. His name's Eugene Odoms. I could use his name. He's a preacher now and he ministers the gospel. But I met Eugene some years ago, and Eugene was going through a lot of problems. He had some addictions, some legal problems, and we began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Brother Eugene, and we took him in the home. We gave him a place to stay, and he's been very good with his hands. As a matter of fact, we spoke about the talents. He's actually a tailor. He can do clothing so good, and, you know, he fixes suits up real nice. And God developed him to even own his own business now. But he gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and he began to walk upright with God, and God restored him. And right before our eyes, God blessed him with a wife. Right before my eyes, my wife's eyes, our ministry eyes, God began to develop his business, gave him a job in a nice store downtown Detroit, and other people would bring their clothes to him. Now he has his own tailor shop. And not only that, but he owns real estate now. He has a couple of nice cars. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ at his church. I mean, just blows my mind to see what God has done in just a few short years in his life. So his name's Eugene. We call him Gino, as a matter of fact. And that's one. So now he's Minister Odoms instead of Brother Gino. And he was kind of a tough little guy. We used to call him Luciano. And so now, you know, God has developed Luciano to Gino to Gino. It's like a transformation to Minister Odoms. He and his lovely wife, they help people, and they go around, they feed folk, and, you know, that's one. And then another one is a brother named Robert Runnels. Robert Runnels, mean little guy, you know, tough guy, and had a knife. He'd cut you, you know, and he had some things going on addiction-wise as well. And we met Robert, and I gave him one scripture. It was, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And that man would recite that to me. Well, same thing. Now Robert's doing very well. God has blessed him to reunite with his daughter. Just sent me some pictures the other night of his beautiful grandbaby. He's married now, has own vehicle, own place to live. And he went to ministry school. Now he's a minister of the gospel, married a woman that's in ministry, and they do evangelical work in the inner city of Detroit. Then I wanted to ease my son in there. You know, I had asked Jack, could I talk about my boy, Dexter James Jr.? He had opportunity to see some of the things in Atlanta that I saw at a young age. And then when he came to Detroit, he could see the devastation as well. And he made a decision that he didn't want to involve himself with drugs, or he didn't want to be involved in the nightlife of the city. And he had tried rapping. We talked about rap music and all of that. He made a couple of songs, and he had a music business where he was a DJ. And it seemed like God just touched him, and he realized that the music was so bad and so vulgar that he didn't even really want to be a part of that. And he started working with me. He was working in General Motors, and they laid him off. And he would talk to me about this resale stuff. He said, Dad, you know, people got us coming picking up this stuff, and we take it in. We have to rent trucks and so forth and so on. And then we try to resell it to help other people at a low price. He said, why don't we start charging to just clean the houses out, you know? And God gave this young man 12 years ago an idea to start charging to clean up houses and clean them out and tear down garages, and before you know it, now 12 years, he can employ some of the guys that come through the ministry because they learn demolition, they learn painting. Now he has his own company called Above All Enterprises. No criminal activity, none of that kind of stuff, and the guys have a job. So Dexter James Jr. picked up the baton, and he begins to minister. He's an outreach minister as well. He talks to young people about Jesus. He's 32 years old, strong, married, two children, takes care of business, and I'm proud that the curse was stopped. You know, never caught him high, drunk, or anything like that. So, you know, I felt like once we obeyed God, that God would not only use us to help other people's sons and dads, but he touched my son as well. And now I'm proud to have, you know, a couple of beautiful grandchildren because of him and his relationship with Christ. And, of course, he says he's not a preacher yet. He wants to be considered a brother or a deacon. He don't want to be a pastor, but, you know, God has touched my son. Then I have another brother. His name is Ken Weathers. Ken Weathers. We met him on the journey as well. Brother Ken Weathers, he was struggling with addiction as well. He came into our home, our ministry home, and we gave him a scripture. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord, and thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I can call him today, and he'll say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, same thing. Ken Weathers now is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He does outreach work in the city. And God has blessed his ministry.
We're talking to Dexter James. If you want to learn more, 313-623-7094. Or you can email Dexter at pastordexterjames@gmail.com. Inner City Outreach Ministries. Dexter, the kids on the streets today, what do those kids really want deep down?
My God. Not so much tradition, but some ambition. That's the word. It's almost like sometimes church is just traditional. And I asked this question just a couple of days with my children. We have 6 girls and 2 boys, 4 grandkids. With my daughters, I've been talking to them about what can we do in the church? What is it that will pull the young people in? And they began to minister to me about what can we do other than Facebook and tweeting and Instagram and all those things, of course. We can use those for the gospel, but having a one-on-one relationship, not being traditional, you know, being able to do some things that's catered to the children, not or the youth, and separate the age groups so that we can talk about issues. And I'm so glad you asked me that. How can we reach the lost at any cost? Is to put the gospel out there and get it right into their age group with the issues that they deal with due to their age group. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, and then teach them a trade. Some don't want to go to college. So if you look at some of the photos we brought in, praise God, we have friends that are willing to take some of the young people, teach them roofing, painting. You know, if you don't want to go to college, you want to trade. There are young men who own their own companies right now who've connected with inner city outreach that are willing to take someone who's willing to be trained and to be obedient to the word of God.
We're talking to Dexter James, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dexter James, founder, Inner City Outreach Ministries. Dexter, a number of guests through the years have told me, Jack, I've learned much more from the poor than I ever did from the rich. Why?
Oh, man. First of all, the poor are survivors. Oh, my God, man. Even transportation-wise, you look around the city now, thank God for these scooters, but before they brought these scooters into town, they had bicycles. And I began to think about what, when gasoline is rationed out, or when there's a shortage, when there was a blackout, people couldn't get gasoline, the homeless kept moving on those bikes. At nighttime, because we get out and witness, we find out that a lot goes on while you're asleep. Because of the homeless people, they know the city, they know who's doing what, they can tell you what's what. Survivors, they have a network, they got different spots called cat holes where they keep their stuff. You get to know them in the missions, we get to know them in the street. They can tell you where to go, where not to go. Just like when you go to the games now and park your cars, we know people downtown that'll watch your cars, keep you from breaking in them, but they're homeless. I mean, the poor people know how to survive. They know how to take it. To be honest with you, they know how to take an abandoned home and turn it into a castle. They know how to take a place, man, that you would never walk in. And before you know it, I've had a testimony of a young man that squatted in a house. And when the landlord did show up and come to look at the house, throw him out, they called him back and said, wait a minute, did you do all this work in this place? He said, yes. They said, come on back. You can stay here until we sell it. And today he has his own construction company right here in the city of Detroit.
Let's go back to June 10th, 1988.
Yes, sir.
31 years ago.
Yes, sir. Life-changing day for Dexter James Sr. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and had a little community store. You call them party stores up here. It was a little store there in my old neighborhood, and I was having some issues with a gentleman that was helping me in the store. And I got a call that I need to come by and check on him. It was pretty bad. And there were some things going on in the store that were illegal. And I'm not proud of it today. But back then, that was what we were doing. And when I pulled up, I realized that not only it was some bad words coming out, but I saw some drugs in there. And they were open and exposed right on the store counter. But there was a man in there. There was a stranger. I didn't know about the book of Hebrews at that time, where be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. But there was a man in my store. And this man was behind the counter with one of the employees of the store who was out of order. And when I came in, we began to talk, and I tried to work it out with the employee. And to make a long story short, it got so bad that he spoke some words that kind of touched me so deep that it was time to kill him. And he had a couple of guys in a car sitting out there. They wanted him dead too. You know, they was afraid of him. And you know, I was young. I was 28 years old. He was older than I am, and I was at the time. To make a long story short, Brother Jack, I went to my car, and in the trunk of my car I had a bag, you know, like a clutch bag. But inside that bag I had a pistol. And I had made up my mind that he had said some things. He said he was going to, he said, "I'm going to break in your house, I'm going to rape your wife, and I'm going to kill your son." That's what he said to me. And that was it, because he was that kind of guy. So that was it. I'm going to hit him in the chest 2 times. I made up my mind when I walked to the car, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to step up in this building, and I'm going to shoot him 2 times in the chest. And when I turned around, I never pulled a gun out. I had unzipped the bag, but I never pulled it out. By the time I began to approach the doorway of the store, the stranger that was standing behind the counter, he said, "Son," S-O-N, "son, watch your hands." He said, "Y'all need to have a meeting of the minds." I said, "Sir, I tried many times with him." And this is what that stranger said to me, Jack. He says, "You are a young man. You can start all over again." He said, "Turn and walk away." Well, Brother Jack, there was something in them words, man, that took all the fury and all the rage out of me. I did just what he said.
Dexter, if there's a young kid listening tonight, who's you 30 years ago? Down the wrong path. Hates his life. What do you tell that young man?
Anything is possible. I'll tell that kid, Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I'll tell that kid, "Man, you've been chosen by God." Like John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." That's what I tell that kid. I tell that kid, don't throw in the towel, son. I tell that kid that inside of your challenge, there's a champion in you, man. I tell that kid, boy, you a king's kid. I tell that kid, you more than a conqueror. I tell that kid that you are the head and not the tail, the lender not the bar, above only not beneath. Bless when you go out and bless when you come in. And if he don't have nowhere to go, I say, "Kid, call me, 313-623-7094. Get in the car. Come on, you can go with us now. We'll give you a place to stay right now." That's what I tell that kid.
Dexter James, your resume, your life before God versus your life now, it's unbelievable with God. God regularly does his greatest work by using the least likely. He's a comedian in that regard. Why does he do that?
Say, he take the foolish things and confound the wise. I don't know, man. He's God. Jackie is God. That's why I'm here, man, because he's God. Because he is love, man. He loved me so much in the midst of my madness, man. He spoke to me, man, in a language that I could understand. You know, he speaks my way. You know, it pulls, it directs. You know, it's bigger and greater than I could ever imagine. It's real. It's real as rain, man. It's real. It's enough to make me do what he, you know, I want to do it. Like Noah, I got to do it.
If there's a father tonight listening that's abandoned his kids, what do you say to that father?
Your life can turn around. I say, Dad, go find your kids. And if you can't, start praying for them. Ask God to forgive you. Repent. Psalm 27 say, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, the Lord will take you up. You know, I know that the kid can be blessed, but, the dad and the mom, they need it. But for the father, man, we need you. You know, I needed my dad. You know, there's nothing like a dad. There's nothing like a father figure. There's nothing like the connection with God. The head of the house. I say, you know, they say when a happy wife, happy life. I say happy man, happy clan. You know, when the dad get right, the whole house get right. You know, the leader gets right. You know, the dad needs to know his position. You know, I had a time in my life I didn't know my position as the priest, the prophet, the provider of my family. Sometimes I thought just providing for them was enough. No. God speaks into my life so that I can speak into my wife and my children's life, so that the next generation can continue to go on in the name of Jesus.
As our time winds down together this evening, Pastor Dexter James, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Thank you so much. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. And I lift up this city. I thank God that you'd bless the city of Detroit, all the listeners, those that feel hopeless, that hope will come, those that are in a spirit of poverty, even in the spirit, Lord, that you'll bring in abundance. God, I thank you that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we will not have room enough to receive. Heal the sick, the lame, those that are in doubt. God, begin to move forward in our lives. Push us, God. Pull us, God. Whatever you need to do, touch us, those under the sound of the voice that we're echoing out tonight. Move by your power in Jesus' name. And remember tonight, Lord, that we're not being dismissed, but we're being dispatched to do what you called us to do. Thank
you. Dexter James, you are a shining example of, with God, anything is possible. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rizzullo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.